You have your Bible, turn this morning to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. The Bible says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I want to preach just a little while this morning, and it seems like we're already living a theme. We had last night our Valentine's supper, and had our married couples come, and we just had a good time of fellowship, good time of food and fun, and boy, what a blast we had. It was a very eventful event, amen? And we'll just leave it there, but we did have a lot of good time, amen? We just appreciate that so much. I want to preach this morning, if God will be my help on this thought, having that loving feeling, amen? Having that loving feeling. Now, so many times we hear people and we hear couples, and when I'm counseling times, I say, well, I just don't have a loving feeling for them, or I just don't love them anymore. And what they're saying is, I've lost that loving feeling. But I want to say love ain't about feeling, praise God, but love is about knowing. I'm going to say this morning, that spouse that you have, that husband or wife that you have, praise God, we can love them because we know that we can. Because God has equipped us with love. Amen. And we have to equip ourselves with love so we can love one another the way God wants us to. We need to have that loving feeling. Where does feeling come from? Feeling comes from experience. Amen. When we experience something, praise God, it begins to be a part of who we are. And we pick up that loving feeling. Salvation, is it about feeling? No, it's not about feeling, but boy, it sure feels good, don't it?
Amen.
Amen. Salvation, is it about running around shouting? No, it's not about that. But boy, praise God, it feels good, don't it? Sometimes we get excited. Sometimes we get that can't help it. Sometimes we just can't help ourselves. Why? Because that feeling, praise God, that we know in our heart something's right. Amen. And we get caught up in it. What Paul's doing here, he's speaking to his fellow people. He's speaking to his kinsmen. Amen. And he said, you know what? He said, I say in Christ, the truth in Christ. He said, I want to tell you the truth. He said, what he's saying is here, he says, I love you in so many ways, I just can't tell you how much I love you. I want to say, church, I love you in so many ways, I can't tell you how much I love you. I love you, I appreciate you, I thank God for this place that He's given us to come together, amen, and to grow in Him, be nurtured in Him, amen, so that we can love one another as we love Him. We reciprocate that love. That's what love is. It's just a reciprocation, praise God, of that God gives us. So what I'm saying this morning, I said, don't take that for granted. Love is a gift of God. Amen. It comes from the throne of grace, from the Father. Amen. It comes down to me and you. And we just have to reach up and get a hold of it, praise God, and make it a part of who we are. So when having that loving feeling is an important part. And we get that by knowing Lord Jesus Christ, that free pardon of sin, knowing that He's on our side. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd always be there with us. If you go back in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, it tells us about how good God is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now that's a question. He said, where's the separation? He said, you can't separate us from the love of Christ because He loves us unconditionally.
Amen.
Some people say, well, preacher, if we get out here and we do certain things, then Jesus won't love us. And no, He don't like what we're doing, but He still loves you. Because God loves us unconditionally. See, we're bad to put conditions on what people do and what people think, how they act and how they react. What changes that is that love of God in your heart, praise God, that makes you that kind of person, that gives you the love in order to love the Lord to do right.
Amen.
God changes your focus. He changes your desire. He changes your want-tos. Amen. I've told you before, I can drink all the liquor I want to, but I don't want to because I know God disapproves of that because He don't want me to alter my mind. He wants me to have the sense, praise God, so I can praise His name and give Him glory at all times.
Amen.
Amen. So what Jesus done, what God done for me, praise God, through the Holy Spirit of God, He changed my want-tos. He changed my life. So He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Amen. In other words, it seems like sometimes we're just almost defenseless. Amen. That they don't seem like nobody's coming to our defense. But listen to what he says. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So what he's saying here, Paul said, you know what? That love of Christ, praise God, it overcomes all the obstacles that we have that the devil and the world can throw before us today. Amen. It overcomes them. He said, we're more than conquerors. We're not conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Amen. In other words, we're winners, praise God. Amen. It's as if we've already received the prize. He said we have the prize of high calling in Christ Jesus our Savior. That's His holy name. He said, for I am persuaded. Now here's where the persuasion comes in. See, we need a persuasion today. Something to persuade us. Something to show us. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. He said, I'm looking down the road. He said, I don't see nothing that's going to separate me from Jesus. He said, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen? So he says, there's nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God. He said, the Lord's already promised that He loved me, and He promised He'd keep me. He said, I'm persuaded, amen, that He's going to do what He said He'd do. Amen? Ain't you glad today God's going to finish what He said? Amen? He never reneges on His Word. And it's that Christ in us that makes a difference. 1 Corinthians 1:27. He said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what we have today, youngs, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said. He said, I say the truth in Christ. Amen. He said, because with Christ I can't lie. Because He is truth. And what He's put in me, praise God, He said it's real. Even to the disturbing, the turning, the changing of my consciousness. Amen. My conscience. Have you ever thought about your conscience? You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you do this, you do that, or you can't sleep, or this, or that, or other, you can't, because your conscience is bothering you. Now, I want to say that's a real thing. Amen. God gives us a conscience that we may know. A consciousness is what we need, that there is a God, and He's real. And He's the Lord and Savior to Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary, amen, died for mine and your sins, rose again, praise God, the third day that we could rise up in hope in Him. He is our hope today. A lot of people say, well, preacher, that, how do you know that happened? Because God said so. Amen. Said He died, he died according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans 15, ain't it? Ain't that what it says? He said he died, He rose again because God said so. Amen. And I told you, I believe what God says. The Lord says, let God be true and every man a liar. He said, if it don't line up what God says, then it's wrong. Amen. But the bottom line, it's not right. But He said our consciousness needs to be awakened. Now, I looked it up in the Noah's 1828 dictionary. It says this, a conscience. It says it's a faculty of power within us which decides on the lawlessness or the lawfulness or unlawfulness of our own actions and affections and instantly approves or condemns them. That's what our conscience does. Who speaks to our conscience? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen? He unctions our spirits. Remember the example I gave you last week about how God gives you a word, goes to your head, Holy Ghost of God works it down into your heart and He changes you, amen, by planting that incorruptible seed. Praise the Lord, and it begins to sprout out, and it becomes who you are. And it touches others around you, praise God, in such a magnificent way. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we need to have this loving feeling in our heart. So how do we get it? Amen. Paul says, I say the truth. In other words, he says, I might as well just tell you the truth because God knows my heart. I'm going to say this, but you might as well just confess. You might as well just accept the truth, live the truth, believe the truth because God knows your heart. Amen. You may fool me. You may fool your wife. You may fool your family. But you'll not fool God. God, hey, He knows exactly where your heart is. Even the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit. That part that worships God and that part that makes us alive to move and breathe and have our being. He separates that. He can separate. Hey, but that, you know, that's a force that's unseparable. Your spirit and your soul is a part of you and you cannot separate those two. Amen. They're there. They're that God-given part. Amen. Can't explain it, but it's there. It's true. It's real. And Paul says, I say the truth because God knows my heart. And he says, because I'm in Christ, he said, I'm secure in what I believe. Amen. Because that I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ is in me, he said, we've become one. We're inseparable. And so he said, I'm secure in what I'm telling you. Amen. If we ever realize that we're one with Christ, if we've been born again, praise God, that he moved in, he sent his spirit to live in. And I told you, I can't explain that to you. Amen. How the spirit, the very essence of God, amen, could come and live in my heart. I mean, even this morning. But he's also living in Brother Rex's heart and Brother Jeff's heart and in your heart, praise God. If you've been born again, the very essence of the presence of God lives in you. And we have that love and feeling, praise God, when we let him have his right of way. You can't, I've told you many, many times before, you can't put him in a box and put him in the farthest corner of your heart. That don't work. Because what he wants to do, he wants to be let out, and he wants to take away all the condemnation. He wants to take away all the condemnation, amen, from your life, amen, and he wants to set you at liberty. Amen. That's where that love and feeling, praise God, realize it, as Miss Alice was saying a while ago, my chains are gone. Amen. That old sinful stuff that used to bind me down, praise God, it's gone now, praise God. And Paul said, I'm secure in the freedom that I have in the truth of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Bible said the truth will set you free. Amen. And when God makes you free, he says you're free indeed. Amen. Amen. There's nothing to hold you down, praise God, and one day we'll fly away. Amen. Amen. But I tell you, I don't know about you, I get tired of this old flesh sometimes. Amen. This old luggage of flesh that we carry around, it's a hindrance. Amen. It causes you to think and do things you ought to do. But Paul says, you know what? He said, God knows what I'm thinking. God knows what I'm doing. He said, I'm secure in Christ Jesus, praise God, because I know he's got this too. Amen. And he says, my conscience is clear. Amen. He said, because I know that God knows, and I know that God knows that I know him. He said, I got a clear conscience. I can tell you with clarity of conscience, amen, praise God, that love and feelings in my heart. Praise the Lord. I'm going to show you that in a minute. We'll go full circle. We'll come back, amen, when we get through with it. But he says that consciousness is clear. How does he get that clear conscience? Bible says because he's led of the Holy Spirit. See, Paul had told him back in Romans chapter 8 in verse 14. He had just a little while before had told them in his writings here, he said about how God had taken over. In 7, he says, oh, wicked man I am, how can I escape this body of death? He said, my flesh is like a dead man chained to my back. I told you before, that's the way Nero would torture Christians. He would take one of their buddies that believed, and he would slay him, he'd kill him, and then he would take and chain them around their back. And they would carry an old dead putrefying carcass around on their back until it rotted plumb off. But you know what had happened? That old rotten body would infest them. It'd become part of who they were. And it would infest them, praise God. It would infect them and they would die too. So I won't say that's what the devil wants to do to you today. He wants to infest you and infect you and have you die away from God. Amen. He said, how can I escape this body of death? He said, oh, he said, through the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Amen. He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25 of Romans 7, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, he's not just mine, he's ours. Amen. He said, so then with the mind myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But he comes himself. In Romans chapter 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation's gone. You're not condemned no more. You've been made righteous. You've been made pure. Amen. Glory to God. Who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Amen. So Paul said the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in. Lord Christ stepped up, praise God. And he said, now, he said, I've got a love and feeling in my heart for my people. I want to see them saved. I want to see them birthed in the family of God. Amen. Because I know that God knows my heart. I know that God, I'm secure in the Lord, praise God. My conscience is clear. The Holy Spirit of God's directing my life. Amen. And things are looking better farther on. I'm glad things are looking better farther on. We have a blessed hope in Christ Jesus this morning. Amen. We need to have that same loving feeling that Paul had, praise God, when he was pinning it down, amen, to his kinfolk, to his relatives, to those in Rome, praise God, that were looking for some answers. Have you ever seen such a time as a day and hour that we live at people's looking for answers? Amen. They're going in different directions. Jesus said himself when he was here, he said they was looking for all kind of answers because they had all these needs. Food and clothes and raiment and all these other things. But Jesus said, hey, listen, you're missing the boat. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's right in the eyes of God. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. What do you need? Amen. Now, I didn't say, I've told you many, I tell you every time I say that, he didn't say he'd supply your wants. But he said, I'll take care of your needs. If you'll seek first what's right with God. What's right with God? The Lord Jesus Christ is right with God. What's right with God? The Holy Spirit of God is right with God. Amen. It's well-fitting, praise God, part of His plan. And He brings us full circle into this. Amen. Having that loving feeling, that's what He wants us to have. Amen. First thing we need to do, having that love feeling, that is that we need it. Amen. Why? So that we can be like Christ. So we can have a clear conscience. So that our conscience can be clear. Amen. So that we can pillow our head, praise God, and know, praise the Lord, that the Lord God is on our side. Amen. Peter said, casting all your cares upon Him. Because He cares for you. Was counseling Thursday night and with a young lady and me and Teresa was there and I was talking to her and I said, have you ever thought about casting your cares upon the Lord? She said, well, preacher, you just don't understand. She said, I go to bed every night. She said, I trust in the Lord. I believe in the Lord. So I go to bed every night. It's just like I can't sleep because my mind's just in turmoil trying to sort this thing out. I said, well, that's where you're messing up. I said, Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. Amen. We miss this. Said to take all those cares that you have. Cast them on the Lord. Amen. In order to cast it, they're talking about a casting net. A casting net you don't troll with. A casting net you throw out. It has weights around the edges and it encircles things and then you pull a string to pull it back. When it's full. Amen. He says, casting your cares. He said, throw them out there. He said, put them at the foot of Jesus. Because He cares for you. See what He's saying there, Brother Rex, is why? He said, if you'll cast your cares upon Him, pillow your head in confidence in the Lord, praise God, and while you're sleeping, the Lord's going to take care of you. Amen. He's going to take those cares. He's going to work on those cares. He's going to do it while you're sleeping. Amen. Think about it. Glory to God. What a Savior. What a Lord we serve. He loves you that much. That's why we need that loving feeling today, youngins. Praise the Lord. Because He cares for us. Let Him take care of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. This ain't in my hands. Praise God, I tell you, when I talk to people and say, praise God, it's in the Lord's hands. He has to give us that we need. But He promised to supply the need. Amen. We see an example of this. Why we need it. And why we need it. Because the Bible says we're supposed to be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. The Bible says this. John chapter 13. In verse 34, the Bible says this, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you. What's the new commandment? He said, that ye love one another Now this is the season of love. Amen. February is when we celebrate Valentine's Day. Amen. When we celebrate that loving feeling. I hope we have that loving feeling today toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now what's Jesus say? Right there he said, I want you to love each other, Brother Rex, like I love you. I mean, what a challenge. But I won't say today, praise God. Church, I believe we're up to the challenge. I take that challenge full on today. To love you, praise God, like Jesus loved me. Amen. He goes on and says, He said, by this shall all men, look at that word, all, everyone, all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. How do you know you're a child of God? Because you love each other. Amen? Because we love you. I hope that you can look across, I'll look around this room, praise God, and I hope you can say, I love this one and that one and that one. I love everybody in here. And I do. I love every one of you. Praise God. Why? Because God does. Amen. And I love you too, because I can. God gives me the opportunity to love you. See, we look at this thing, we've got this whole aspect of Christianity upside down. We think, well, I got to do this because I have to. Because God tells me to. I look at it this way. Praise God, I get to love you because God makes it available. Amen. God allows me to love you. What an honor, what a privilege that I can love you, praise God. Each and every one of you as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I have a love for you because God affords that to me. He allows me. He gives me the desire to love you. Amen. That's amazing. That gets right down to where it lives. So why do we do it? Because we need to. Amen. How do we do it? By humbly confessing, praise God, that we need it. Amen. How do we get that love and feeling? By confessing. Lord, I need that love of God. I need that love and feeling in my heart. And we get it by just humbly confessing. Lord, I need it. I want it. I desire it. Amen. And we know it's right with God because the Lord Jesus has already commanded it. Amen. So when we seek it, praise God, He said, if you seek me early, you'll find me. Well, I want to say, if we seek love early, praise God, we'll find it in the Lord. Amen. We'll find it early in the Lord. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we have that, praise God, we can get that in the Lord. We need to realize that we need it, amen, and God will supply it. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 5. You say, well, preacher, how do I ask for it? By simply asking for it. Realize you need it and ask God. 1 John chapter 5 in verse 13, the Bible says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now either that's absolute truth or he's an absolute liar. And I tell you what, I've never found anything that's untruthful in the Lord Jesus Christ or in the Word of God. Amen? It's all absolute truth, absolutely. I believe it, amen. But he goes on in verse 14, he said, this is the confidence. So here's that confidence again, that persuasion. He said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that's Christ Jesus, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. In other words, it just don't keep on going in faithful charge. It catches the ear of God. When we ask things, that's according to His will. And he goes on, verse 15, he said, if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Do you see how that's a present participle? That's right now, right here, in this very time. Amen? In other words, He's saying we have those petitions. That's right now. We have the petition when we ask according to God's will. So when we bow humbly before God and you say, oh God, please help me to love my brethren and my sister, praise God, and help me to love you, reciprocate that love, and help me to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. What will God do? He will help you love your brother and sister in Christ. He'll help you love one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. There it is. He pads it to you in prayer. How do you get it? Praise God. You ask God for it. Say, God, help us love one another. Amen. We may not always agree with one another, but we can love one another. Praise the Lord. Even in our disagreement, amen, we can still love each other. Praise God. Because we've asked God, and God's helping us to do that. Amen. He'd have us do. Be that He'd have us to be. So you ask Him. We ask Him in the Holy Spirit. We ask in the Holy Spirit in prayer, praise God, expecting, and we receive it. I told somebody the other day, we pray without any expectation. God says when you pray, pray believing and you shall receive. He said in one place, He said, you can say to the mountain, be ye removed and cast in the depth of the sea, and said it'd take place. You say, well, preacher, why can't we do that? Because our faith ain't enough. We've just got a little bit of faith. Amen. If we had a whole lot of faith, if we truly believed God, amen, we could see mighty things. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain 3.5 years. He prayed again and God let it rain. Come a typhoon. Amen. We can do the same thing. Pray God if we'll just trust the Lord. We got to believe. Pray believing to receive. If we want the love of God in our heart, we got to pray believing that the love of God's there for us to have. Amen. So we can have it. So how do we get it? We come humbly before the Lord and we ask Him for it. Believing that we might receive. So how do we know that we got it? Amen. So how do we know that we got it? It's a simple question, ain't it? A big answer. How do you know you got that love? Because you love the brethren. Ain't that what Jesus said? Because you love the brethren. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. He said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. They won't recognize you for who you are. But I won't say a child of God will. He said, beloved, now here we go again, now. That's right now. That's here in the present. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. You see how he said, it's God wants us to, it's not a gray area. How do we know that we've got it? Praise God, because God says we can know. He said, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So He said, this is how we know that we've got the goods. Because one day, praise God, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Ain't that something? One day we're going to pull up to glory. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. He said, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. You say, preacher, now wait a minute. We're all sin to come short of glory. God, we're all sinners, right? But what he's saying here, John's saying is we won't continue in sin. Because we're walking with the Holy Spirit. We're being led of the Spirit. When He shows us sin and sinful ways, we repent. Amen. That means we stop where they're at. We say, oh God, I realize I messed up. I'm sorry. And instead of following in that sin, we turn 180 degrees and we never go that way again. That's true repentance. See, what we've got nowadays isn't true repentance. Amen. It's remorse because we get caught. Amen. We get caught in our sinfulness. We say, oh man, I got caught. I better go up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But the next day we go back and do the same thing like a hog that's returning to its wallow. But the Bible said true repentance won't ever take us back to that pit. True repentance will move us away from that and we'll never go back. Amen. Why? Because the Lord's helping us. The Spirit is taking us away from those harmful things. The harmful aspects of our life. The things that's not pleasing to God. Amen? He goes on and says, little children, verse 7, let no man despise you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he who Christ is righteous. Righteousness is that's right in the eyes of God. So he said, whoever does righteousness is what? Right. So what if you don't do righteousness, then you're wrong. Amen. See, God don't have no gray areas, it's black and white. God said this is right and this is wrong. So which side do we go? We go on the right side because we go on the side that's right. Amen. We leave the side that's wrong alone. Amen. Simple as that. Praise the Lord. He goes on and said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's continues in his sin. He said he's following the devil, the prince of power of this present world. He said, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, in the word brought into view, that he might destroy, now watch this, the works of the devil. Amen. So the Holy Spirit of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, will destroy the works of the devil. Get rid of them. Amen. Don't need them around us. We don't need the help from the devil. He said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. In other words, there he says it again. You don't continue to commit those sinful things once they're revealed to you. See, that's part of sanctification. Now hang with me just a minute. I'm almost done. That's part of sanctification. God saves you and He sanctifies you. That means He pulls you apart, sets you aside. And He begins to help you to grow, amen, in the things that's right. Now we don't get saved and we become great big super saints and we're all perfect right away. It's a continuing process. Amen. Paul said you strive for perfection. You strive to be right in the eyes of God. Amen. We work on it a little every day. Amen. Until we get it perfect. When will that be, Pastor? When we get to heaven. Amen. We'll be perfect when we're in the presence of God. But unto then, praise God, we're a work in progress. You're the clay in the potter's hands. Boy, if we could ever get a hold of that, realize all these rough edges that we have, He'll work those off. He'll make Him something, praise God. He'll make you something that one day He can present to Himself without spot or blemish or any such thing. All those old things that we did, that old lifestyle we had, praise God, He'll work that out of us, amen, to present ourselves perfect. Me and you. You ever think of yourself as perfect? Amen. Just imagine what you can be. We see what we are. I see that man I shave every day. But praise God, He said, I can be more than that. Amen. He said, because His seed remaineth in Him. He's talking about the Lord. And He cannot sin because He is born of God. He says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. See, there's a separation. And God does the separating. And He goes on and says, whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not, what? His brother. Amen. So He says we can know that we love one another because we love the brother. Amen. He goes on in verse 14 as He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. He said, you're still lost. He said, you're still dying if you can't love the brethren, sisters in Christ. Now I say again, we may not always agree with everything. We may have to choose to disagree on some things, but we still should be able to love one another. Amen. To show love, to be able to come alongside, to help one another, to encourage each other. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, whosoever, verse 15, hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So there we have it in a nutshell. He says, hereby perceive ye the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let's not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. In other words, He said, you can get a hold of God and God will get a hold of you. Amen? Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now watch 24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. He said, God loves us so much. Pray God that the Son sent the Spirit of God. He sent it to me and you to occupy us, till He comes. He said, that's the love of God. Praise God. He said, we take that and take that to someone else. We can share that along the way. Look back at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7, He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Where does that love and feeling come from? It comes from God. He said, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen. How do you know you're saved? Because you love God. And because you love the brethren, amen? Because you know who's there for you. He said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 9 says, in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. He said, here's love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the perpetuation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, me and you, we ought also to love, Brother Jeff, one another. Amen? Amen. So Paul says, coming full circle, he said, we know we have that love and feeling because God loved us. He said, even while we were yet in our sin, God loved us. Amen. He looks past our sin to what we can be, and He loves us. Amen. And He comes to where we're at and He helps us, praise God, in our need. Amen. And Paul says that we can have this kind of love. Praise God. We need this kind of love. We know how to get this kind of love. How do we know that we've got it, praise God? Because God says He gave us a litmus test. If we love each other, we know that we have the love of God. Amen. Amen. We have that loving feeling. But the question is, Paul says here in verse 9, or chapter 9, in verse 3, Paul said, I know I've got the truth. My conscience is clear. I'm living. Holy Ghost of God is directing me. And he said, I love my brethren. He says, because I'm willing to even cause myself accursed. Amen. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So here we come full circle with Paul. Come back to this place here. And he said, you know what? He said, I would be accursed. I would be cast. I would allow myself to be cast out into the regions of darkness. If only my people, my kinsmen, my family, my brothers and sisters, pray, could be saved. Amen. So we know that we can have that love and feeling. We know that we can get it. We know how we can have it. But the question is, Paul's asking, what are you going to do with it after you get it? Amen. What are we going to do with it now? Paul said, I'd be accursed. He said, I'd be cast in the regions of darkness if I could just see my people saved. Amen. If we have that love and feeling, if we love each other, if we love God, we love Lord Jesus Christ, we love each other, we love our families, we love our loved ones, we love the brothers and sisters, amen, going to die and go to hell. Amen. We realize that we've got that love and feeling. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with that love and feeling? That God has given us. Why are we going to use it for the Lord? Amen. That He might get the glory out of it all. Amen. But we need to think today that there is a God of glory. He allows us to know all these things. He gives us the ability, the facilities, amen, the capacity to love each other. But the question Paul said, he said, boy, he said, I would that I could, he said, I'd give everything I've got, even literally my soul, if I could see folks saved. For the glory of God. Amen. We know today what God's offered us, what God's given us. But the question is today, as we stand together, I'm done. As we stand, what are we going to do with it? Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have that love and feeling? Do you know that you know, praise God, that you're a child of King? You've been born again, praise God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is working on you?